Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Merlefest 23 is just around the corner. April 27th through the 30th, 2023. It's the annual celebration held in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, celebrating the life of Eddie Merle Watson, son of the famous flat picker Doc Watson. This year marks the 35th installment of Merlefest, and coincidentally, it would have been the 100th birthday of Doc Watson. This year's headliners include a reunion tour of Nickel Creek, the classic band Little Feat, Tommy Emmanuel, Marcus King, and Tanya Tucker, as well as the Avett Brothers, just to name a few. I recently caught up with Lindsay Craven, who is the talent buyer and the artist relations manager for Merlefest, to get some more insight on what it takes to put together such a expansive festival as Merlefest. Good morning, Lindsay. Thanks for taking our call today.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Glad to have you on the phone. Getting excited. Merlefest is what? 7 weeks away, something like that.
Yeah, we're in that range.
Yeah. How long have you been involved with Merlefest?
In some capacity, I've been involved since 2007. Okay. I started as an intern at a college intern from Appalachian State University, and I worked with them my junior and senior year as an intern. And then ever since then, I've been back as a volunteer or a part-time worker, and now a full-time worker.
What was your exposure prior? Were you aware of Merlefest growing up as a younger person? What was your exposure to it prior to college and kind of getting involved on the hands-on level?
Actually, I wasn't.
Really? Cool.
I college, that internship introduced me. I ran across it. I'm a double major in journalism and advertising, and they had a marketing and advertising internship that I stumbled across on our internship board in my junior year. And I was like, well, I'm into music. You know, I worked for the college newspaper on the entertainment section and lifestyle stuff. And so, you know, I leaned towards that type of writing. So I was like, well, this will be a good balance of both things and a good experience. And then did that. And somehow I ended up my first year, you know, I interned as a marketing person, but I ended up on the artist relations team, which was working more directly with the artists.
Yeah.
During the festival. And then, you know, that was a pretty cool experience. And then when they invited me back on the artist relations team, and I've been here ever since.
So what does the artist relations director, what is kind of your chief role with Merlefest?
Primary role is booking the talent, selecting the bands that'll play every year.
Okay.
I make the schedule for all 12 stages, select the bands, do all the contracting, all the preparation for them to get here, and then taking care of them while they're here. We have our outreach program in the schools, both the going out to the schools and sending artists to perform there. And then we also have a school day where we have students that come on site. So I handle the outreach that goes to the schools.
Okay.
And in terms of getting the artists there, selecting the artist and that kind of thing. So lots of different moving parts to it.
Yeah.
Basically everything that has to do with artists, I've got my hands in one way or another.
And it's not a tiny festival. So you've got, you said 12 stages, and that sounds like a lot, but it actually, firstly, I want to say that you guys manage that so well. It never feels chaotic, but 12 stages is a lot of, That is a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of artists, and there's a lot of coordinating to try to avoid overlap, I'm sure. And did you have exposure to that? Did you have to get up to speed really fast in order to take over? How did that evolve for you?
Well, thankfully, since I've been with the festival so long, I kind of had a pretty good feel of how it worked. I've worked with, I guess, three different artist relations managers mm-hmm. over the course of my time with the festival. So I learned a lot from all of them. And Steve Johnson, who was before me, mm-hmm. you know, he shared a lot of his time and really explained what he did. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job in handing off the role. So, you know, there was a big learning curve there at the end of, you know, just figuring out, you know, our regulars who are there and, you know, where people expect to see them because they kind of have a usual stage schedule and things like that.
Yeah.
So just making sure I caught all those things and didn't upset the apple cart, so to say.
yeah.
And then, you know, also putting my own spin on things as I took over. So was a lot to learn, but it wasn't as overwhelming as it could have been if I just stepped into it as a complete newbie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned trying to, you know, keep your crowd happy and coming back. And again, you guys, you know, Steve and then the guys before him and yourself have done a great job of, you know, making sure it's a really good balance. Do you have a formula? I'm sure you get inundated with people saying, hey, can I play? How do you, and obviously I'm sure you're working with some kind of budget, but outside of that, how do you decide who you pick?
We absolutely do get lots of requests to play the festival. And, you know, while it does seem huge, we have limited, you know, performance spots and
sure.
budget to
yeah.
get as many people in as possible every year. But we do have a formula that we kind of work off of. I believe it was created by B Towns, who was kind of one of the founders with Doc of the festival.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it just kind of helps us keep guided on getting a good balance. But really what it means, it's not necessarily like locked in 100%, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of a guidance saying, well, this will keep a good balance of these different genres.
Yeah.
And with our genres, we have a lot of leeway because Doc blessed us with the term traditional plus
right.
is what we are. So that leaves a lot of room for different types of music. So we're not really limited. You know, a lot of people call us the Bluegrass Festival, and we do have bluegrass. We love bluegrass,
yeah.
but we're not a bluegrass festival.
Yeah.
We're lots of things. So we just try to make sure throughout the weekend and then within each day that we have a good balance of different types of music. So we'll hit all the audience and find things that they love.
How do you know when you're pushing outside the bounds of traditional plus? Do you just kind of feel it out? Do you have a sense of, okay, that's a great band, but I'm not sure it's a great band for us?
Yeah. You know, if I'm really questioning whether someone's going to be a good match, I'll try to go catch them live before we talk
okay.
to them about hiring.
Sure.
So I can get a feel for what the live show looks like. Cause sometimes the live show versus the recorded show is a lot different.
Yeah.
And you know, especially as we're, you know, looking at newer and younger artists, making sure that their values match with our values in terms of being family friendly and being able to pull off a show that's going to work for an alcohol-free audience because
mm-hmm.
we are a dry festival. So we've got lots of unique things about us that we have to factor in that a lot of places don't when
yeah.
we're looking at our artists and making sure that they're still going to be able to perform at the level they're used to
sure.
and still meet our quality standards as well.
How far ahead are you trying to engage these acts?
We work at least a year in,
okay.
a year out. We're already talking about 24.
Okay.
So at a minimum of a year out.
So you kind of know who your big pieces are going to be for even next year.
We're in the process of that. You know, mm-hmm. it's especially our bigger acts. We are a fundraiser. You know, we have to work a little further out because we can't pay top dollar for every artist.
Mm-hmm.
We have a stricter budget than one might imagine for the acts that we are able to bring, but we are blessed with people who see the value of Merlefest, mm-hmm. And what we're doing and the fundraising that we're doing, and they work with us on that. So we have to work further out. We have to wait a little longer on answers than some people might, or other festivals or venues. So sometimes we have an idea in place and we have offers out, but they might not come together for several months, or, you know, we'll have to wait a little longer.
And then speaking of value, of course, this festival is in honor of Doc Watson's son, Merle. Most people know that history. And then this is the 35th year, which is amazing. Do you guys have anything special in mind for this coming up festival in April?
Yes. We'll be celebrating Doc's 100th birthday, a little late. I know it was this past week,
right.
But we'll be doing a little delayed birthday party. The Kruger brothers will be hosting Doc's 100th birthday jam on the Watson stage on Saturday.
Cool.
And they'll have several guests on that. We have several Doc jams across the festival that are done every year and will continue this year. And I'm sure we'll have some little extra things to it in celebration of Doc's birthday as well. We've got a Docability blowout, the songs of Doc Watson, memories of the Watson family. So we've got lots of things honoring Doc and Merle. And then, you know, in terms of just celebrating, we're just trying to do it up big with our lineup this year and, you know, try to get back to the crowds we were used to pre-COVID.
Right. Yeah. Talk about your lineup a little bit. Who's on the main stage? Who do you have? Maybe if you got somebody new, who are you guys really trying to highlight this year?
So our big names on closing out each of the nights at the main stage this year, Brothers of a Feather, which is Chris and Rich Robinson of the Black Crows, will close out on Thursday. We have the Avett Brothers closing out Friday. Maren Morris closes out Saturday. And Nickel Creek will close on Sunday.
Okay.
And then to join them on each of those days, you've got Little Feet and Tommy Emmanuel on Thursday, Marcus King and the Black Opry Review on Friday, Tanya Tucker, Peter Rowan on Thursday. So those are our primary after-dinner break main stage acts that you can look forward to.
Yeah.
Some other exciting names we've got, and many of these are first-time performers, the Brothers Comatose,
cool.
Lori McKenna, Joshua Ray Walker, Bella White will be making her first appearance, Miko Marks, Woody Platt will be returning, but with his wife, Shannon Whitworth.
Yeah, that's cool.
It'll be his first time back to the festival outside of the Steep Canyon Rangers.
Yeah.
John Paul White. And then we've got AJ Lee and Blue Summit's another one that's going to make their first appearance. And then we've got regulars that people love. Donna the Buffalo, Sam Bush, Jerry Douglas, Peter Rowan, of course. Scythian is one of our regulars. Allison Brown will be joining us again. So we've got just a ton of options.
On the outside chance that folks listening to us haven't had a chance to attend the Merlefest, give me a quick overview of what your stages are. I mean, you guys do something really cool. You know, you've got your Creekside, which I think tends to be kind of a little more traditional. You got your Americana stage and the dance tent. I'm sure that's intentional. Give us just a quick overview of the different kind of features that you guys have this year.
Yeah, so we have our Americana stage, which is kind of self-explanatory, that focuses on our Americana bands. Our Watson and Cabin stage, those are our main stages. Watson is the, you know, what you might call the headliner stage. And
right.
Our Cabin stage is kind of the turnover, but you'll see equally large, well, I guess equally is subjective, but other exciting acts as your main stage acts are changing stages. Creekside is, that one's actually sponsored by Come Here North Carolina for us. So we try to, it is a little more traditional, but it also, we try to focus some of our North Carolina artists on that stage. It's not primarily that, but it, we try to put more of our North Carolina artists there. We have our dance stage, which is also kind of self-explanatory, and you're going to see a little more of our rowdy, louder bands over there. That we have found that's a great, we get a great response when we have some of our more upbeat bands there, and that dance tent gets full
It does.
No seating over there, so you can just
dance
to your heart's content. It's nice and fun over there. Our hillside stage is on a hillside, if you've never been. Mm-hmm. It's an experience, and we have our hillside album hour over there on Saturday, which is one of our biggest drawing events. Mm-hmm. The Waybacks select an album, and it's top secret. There's probably 2 to 3 of us at max who know leading up to the moment they start playing what they're going to play. So they'll pick out an album and play it in its entirety on Saturday. And then we have our little picker stage, and that one is geared towards our children. And we put young performers on that stage as well. So you'll see people like Presley Barker, Southbound 77, which is a local kids band. And some others that have never performed there before will be there this year. Our Austin stage, we've got our Doc Watson Performing Arts Showcase, where we've got some mini sets where we think they kind of signify what Doc did and things that Doc and Merle would have enjoyed seeing. We've got our acoustic blues blowout on that stage. Our Plaza stage, we have a band contest on Saturdays, and we've got an open mic on Fridays. So there's some nice local slash, our audience can come out and jam on our stages as well. So that one's kind of a unique thing for us. Our traditional stage is, you know, even more so than the Creekside, is where our traditional music kind of focuses there. And then our Walker Center stage is kind of broad, but it's a little more bluegrassy.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
So obviously you still have tickets. What's the best way for folks to get reservations, get your seats? And if they've got questions, what's the website? All that kind of good stuff.
So best place to go purchase tickets will be our website, which is merlefest.org. We still have all of our tickets on sale, basically. We've got a few things that have sold out, and our parking has sold out. But we do have free parking on site in our blue lot with free shuttles to and from the festival grounds. Mm-hmm. So that's always an option. You can also call our box office at 800-343-7857. If you prefer to do that by phone, they're there Monday through Thursday, 12 to 5 p.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern on Fridays.
And generally you could walk up if you wanted to.
Yep. You can get tickets day of. You do save a little bit of money buying in advance, but it's definitely not cost prohibitive if you decide you want to do it day of, and we have tickets available every day.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you, Lindsay. I appreciate you taking the time to give us some more insight into Merlefest. And as always, it's lining up to be a great show, and we can't wait to join you guys again this year. So thank you.
Thank you. Can't wait to have you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.